Say recording. I'll try. There we go.
Yep, we got it. Okay. We have 7, excuse me, 5:30 p.m. and we have quorum, so we'll go ahead and start our meeting. Right now we have with us Kevin Gundlach, Veronica Figueroa Velez, and Martha Vukelic Austin. So we do have quorum. That takes us down to our approval of minutes. We're approving minutes from two meetings. And the two meetings we're looking at were the draft minutes from October 13th and then the minutes from November 3rd. I will take a motion on those minutes.
I move to approve the minutes of November 3rd and October 13th. Second.
We've got a motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Oh, I guess I should have asked for any discussion. But we did take the vote and they did pass, so we're good with that. It looks like Commissioner Hart is joining us now as well, so it looks like we have everyone here. Michael, was there anyone registered for public comment tonight?
No, there are not.
Okay. Any disclosures or recusals from commissioners? Okay, with no that takes us right into the fire department items, and I see that we have Assistant Chief Fabry here, so I'll turn it over to you, please, Chief.
Thanks, Mary. Not too much of an agenda from us. We do have, I'll start working down the agenda items. It looks like we have a review of the preliminary recommendation from the fire chief regarding some upcoming promotions. We have a lot coming up typically in January. We struggle a little bit with trying to really tie people down to a date. So I'm hoping that these are accurate, but we have five of them that we had planned to promote before that January meeting. So we're looking for five file reviews from you all. And that will be for a Jonathan Klink scale, which will be a new driver, a new lieutenant, Ryan Stoudinger, another new lieutenant, Matt Powers, a file review for a new division chief, Nathan Frankie, and then for an assistant chief, Ron Bloomer. So hoping to
Okay.
do that before our next meeting.
So, is there anyone who would like to volunteer? I can do them, but if someone else really wants to do them, I'll be glad to let someone else do the fire department file reviews.
I haven't done anything for a while because I was so busy, but I can do them this time because when spring comes up, I'll be busy again.
Okay. So Kevin will make Commissioner Dunlap will make arrangements with you then to review those files for the fire department.
Perfect. And whatever time works for you, Kevin and Dave, just let us know and we'll make it work for you.
Sounds good.
We also do have typically, when we promote a new chief, we like to schedule an informal meeting with you all if possible. So that's another thing to get on the calendar, I guess, for Division Chief Nathan Frankie and also an Assistant Chief Ron Bloomer.
Yep, and that is the next item up on the agenda. So, commissioners, if we could look at schedules really quick and try to schedule that. It seems that it works better for commissioners to have evening meetings. Is that an accurate statement? Commissioners? I think it does for those who are still working to come in later. With that in mind, then I would look at meeting times for if we could look at next week, start there. With the holiday coming up, it might cause some if people are traveling. I'd like to get this one on the schedule. Is there a night next week that would work? I know Kevin, Mondays you say don't usually work for you.
Yeah, I can't Monday or Tuesday. I
What
can't.
about Pete Tuesday the 18th? Does that work for commissioners?
That does not work for me.
Okay.
The 2 days I can do Wednesday or Thursday, but that's it.
Okay.
I can't do Thursday.
What does Wednesday the 19th look like for commissioners?
I can do that.
Works for me. What time are we talking about?
Well, like 5 p.m. or 5:30, we could go either.
Yeah, that works.
Okay, and so we're looking at I can't help me out here. Was it the Wednesday or
The
Thursday?
19th.
The 19th we decided on? Okay. Oh, actually I can't. Well, I can't. Well, yeah, it actually it'll only take us about an hour. Those usually we schedule an hour. So if we do it in an hour, I have an hour available from 5 to 6 that night on the 19th. So does that work for folks then? So then it will be the 19th at 5 p.m. and we'll need to start that promptly. Assistant Chief, could you please check with those two candidates and see if they're able to join us for that meeting, please?
Yeah, they'll make it work. Is it just through Zoom then again?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and do it through Zoom. I think that's going to be best.
Okay, I'll definitely check with them tonight yet, but I'm sure they'll make it work.
That would be great because otherwise it gets difficult. So
Yep, and then we'll have two more chiefs later, like in later January, that'll get promoted as well. But it sounds like we can wait on that one the next go around meeting.
we prefer to be to meet with them closer to the actual
Yeah,
promotion.
it's like 2 weeks later than these individuals we got, but that should work out pretty good. All right, thank you for that. I know that's always fun to try to figure out schedules, everyone. Next agenda item is consideration of the potential action regarding recommendations for the fire chief of promotion of the following candidates that were successful in completing their probation and quarterly evals were conducted by a division chief and reviewed by the assistant chief of personnel. No discrepancies were found, and pending your approval, these individuals will all be promoted November 24th, and that's Lieutenant David Shrimp, apparatus engineer Corey Hessling, apparatus engineer Brian Steele, and apparatus engineer Adam Perez.
Okay, so we'll start out with taking a motion to approve the chief's final recommendation for the individuals as listed with the effective date as listed.
So moved.
Have a motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion from commissioners. And again, this is an approval for the final recommendation of the fire chief for permanent placement into those positions as listed. Any other discussion? Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I think that was everybody, but I wasn't quite sure. Please proceed then, Chief.
Thank you. And then we do have, within that same group, we have a probationary apparatus engineer, Marta Darrow. We're asking a request to extend her probation to next year, September 24th, because of a military deployment. So she has been unable to work for the fire department for some period of time, and we expect to see her back late spring next year from her deployment. Unless something changes, timing, the amount she missed that would put us back to September 24th of 2026.
Okay, and I believe that goes outside of that 18-month time period, time window, just by a little bit. So it does need, by rule, needs PFC approval for the extension. So we'll go ahead and take a motion, and then we can have further discussion or questions. I'll take a motion on that item to extend the promotion to the date as given.
So moved.
Okay, we have a
Second.
motion. I have a motion and a second. Are there further questions for the fire department or further discussion on that item? Okay.
I just want to make sure that it's noted that it's the requesting probation. I think you said promotion
Oh,
by.
I'm sorry. Yep,
No, 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 no.
probation.
Yeah, I just want to make
Yep.
sure that we just as this, so it gets it's all
Yeah,
right.
thank you.
Okay, So we're looking at extending the probation date for that individual. Any further questions or clarifications from commissioners? Hearing none, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
And Mary, I guess I do have one real quick question. I don't know, we're seeing a lot of these LES military, especially nowadays, with everything going on, we're seeing a lot of these LES orders through the military changing rapidly. So if she would get returned and cut loose from her obligations with the military and comes back early, is that just coming to you and actually asked to shorten that time frame then, I'm assuming?
My understanding on the rule is just that we can extend if you want to go farther. If the chief is satisfied with the work product of the employee, I think the chief has the authority to go ahead and say that the employee has met the criteria, and then it won't need further action from us, is what I'm
Okay, great.
saying.
Thank you.
Mike, did you have a question?
Sorry, I didn't catch the date.
What I have for the date is the probation is extended to September 24th of 2026.
Seems like so far away. And then moving on to the next one, it looks like retirement and resignations. We don't have any currently. We have a lot coming up, probably a good dozen or so coming up in January, but we'll hold those off then. And then disciplinary matters, just an update. We do have four open investigations that we're trying to wrap all these up before the end of the year, but we have two of them that are late for work. Those are policies 11.13 and MFD Rule 39 are basically late for work. We also have another one that deals with MFD Rule 19, where drivers are responding to an emergency call, shall exercise judgment and care with due regard to the safety and life and property. Also, which is falls under Rule MFD Rule 39, which is members must conform and properly obey all the laws, and also MFD Rule 18, members shall conform to the rules and regulations of the department and observe the laws. And then finally, our last one is an APM 2-33 rules of conduct and a drug-free workplace provisions, which also falls under the city's APM drugs, controlled substance and alcohol use and testing policy. And those are all the ones that we're working through at this point. And that's really it from MFD.
Commissioners, do you have any questions for fire regarding any of that information? Okay. Hearing none, it takes us to the police department items. And the police department items, I think we had Captain Drescher. There she is. Welcome.
I am here. Welcome. Good evening. We have a couple agenda items today. Hopefully, we'll still go pretty quickly. So, first is the review and preliminary recommendation from the Chief of Police regarding six promotional candidates and a schedule of file reviews. So, by rank, the first is Kip Hartman. And then we have three lieutenant promotions, and that's Kelly Doherty, Ryan Gibson, and Chanda Dolson. And then we have Sergeant, and then a detective promotion, Jack Graziano and Feroz
So we will need a pile of file reviews for the police department as well. Do we have a volunteer for the police department file reviews?
I can tell you that one.
Okay, thank you. And if it looks like it's going to be too much, then just because I know there's six of them, but I'm grateful that you're willing to do them. Thank you.
And Commissioner, I'll let Alyssa Keynes know, and then whenever you have time. All right, ready for the next?
Yes, please.
Okay. So the next is for consideration and possible action regarding the final recommendation of the Chief of Police this is not to hire candidates, but it's for the successful completion of the probationary period for a bunch of officers that were in our last recruit class.
So we have 24 officers listed in our agenda. And I'll just take a motion regarding those 26 officers who have successfully completed their probationary period And with the effective date of 11/26 of 25, I'll take a motion from a commissioner on that.
Move for the I move to accept the chief's final recommendation for to hire these 24 officers effective 11/26/25.
Okay. And then just there is a typo in the notes there. These are already hired and they are completing their probationary period. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Do we have any further discussion or questions for police on that? All in favor for those 24 candidates? Aye.
Aye.
Anybody with no's? All right, that one passes as well.
Ready for the next one?
Yes, please.
All right, so we have four of that class that we're also requesting extensions on. None of them are beyond the 18 months, but just for your consideration, we have two of them that'll be in May of 2026. One of them is just a military, so it's brief. We'll actually talk about him next month again, and that's Zachary Rubin. And then Marcus Weaver will be extended until May of next year, and then he's our expected long-term extension, so longer than 18 months. But I can go through one by one about them or whatever you'd like.
Okay, any questions from commissioners since it doesn't extend past the rules, what the rules allow the police department can make these extensions? Do we have any questions? Okay, hearing none, we can go ahead and proceed.
Okay, next up, the exciting news about our hiring list. So this is a status update regarding our, the consideration and possible action to add candidates to our hiring list. And I know I got it, I think Thursday or Friday maybe. And those are 12 candidates that we are requesting to add to our hiring list. And I sent the bio profiles and some pictures, but I'm interviewed them all and happy to answer any questions.
Okay, so we have 12 potential candidates to add to the, and it was hiring list, correct? Yes.
Yes.
So to add to the hiring list, we have 12 candidates from police. We did get those files, the file details, and the photos from you. Thank you much for that. I'll take a motion on the 12 candidates.
Motion to add the 12 candidates to the list.
Okay, we have a motion to add the 12 candidates to the hire list. I'll second that motion. Is there further discussion or questions for police on this item? Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
I heard across the board aye, so we're all good on that one. Please proceed.
All right, and just a quick update on our Accelerated Academy. That's going to be starting next week. So just a reminder, next Wednesday, the 19th at 8 o'clock, everybody's welcome to come to the training center to see the swearing in of our two accelerated folks that we had our special meeting for at the start of the month. So we are excited to welcome two lateral transfers to the department. And if anybody has any questions about them, otherwise I'm happy to proceed.
Can you just give the details again? I'm sorry.
You're all good. So Donald Yiddie is coming from us, or I'm sorry, did you want different information?
I just, the time and location.
Again. Sure, 8 o'clock a.m. on the 19th of November here at the training center, or not here at the trainings, but at the training center, so 5702 Femright.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And then in other good news, this Thursday, the 13th, starting at 3 p.m., at MATC MITB Theater, we will be graduating our 71st class of MPD. We have 32 recruits that'll be graduating and they'll be hitting the street this over that weekend. So everybody is again welcome for that to see the exciting news of everybody graduating. And then our next one up is just our resignations and retirements. We did have two resignations, Officer Fabiola Ortiz and Officer Riley Annaker Swantz, and they are both effective. One was effective last month, and one is going to be upcoming effective soon. So those are resignations. And then an update on our disciplinary matters. We have four carryovers from the last couple of months. There's two code of conduct, unlawful conduct. And then we have two APM 3-5 prohibited harassment and or discrimination that are ongoing. And a new one just came in today again for a code of conduct, unlawful conduct. And I'll know more about that one next month. Like I said, just came in today.
Any questions for police on those? Okay.
All right. And then up next is your introduction and informal discussion with Assistant Chief Kamoski and Captain Nottigal. And I will turn it over to President Schaff.
Okay. Well, and I wanted to let you know, Captain Drescher, if you don't want to stay the whole time, I welcome. I can always just send you an email with the after we do our closed session piece, but you're welcome to stay. But I also respect your time and commitment that you give. So it's your choice.
I usually just send good Mike a quick email, and he's really quick to get back to me. So I'll stick around for a little bit just to hear Kamoski and Nottigal share a little bit about themselves. But I'll be available at any point in time.
Okay. Thank you so much for your report.
Thank you.
And I see we also have the soon to be retired Captain Patton hanging out in there as well. I assume that's who that is.
Yeah, he just couldn't give it up. He had to come back one more time.
One more. He had to have one more round with the PFC while he was still here. But with that, we'll turn it over. We'll go over first. We'll start with Assistant Chief Kamoski. It is our normal practice with the PFC to meet with candidates for the higher level promotions prior to approving that promotion, to have a discussion with the candidates. Where we get to ask questions and just kind of learn more about what you're about and what you see as far as the direction for the department, et cetera. So what helps a lot is if we could start out with just having you give kind of a brief discussion. We've seen your file. We'll discuss that, but just it's nice to hear from you about some of your career highlights, and things like that, just to introduce yourself. So I'll turn it over to you, Assistant Chief Kamoski.
Great, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, perfect. All right. Yeah, good evening. I'm Angie Kamoski. I've been with the department. I'm in my 28th year. So I was academy classmates with Chief Patterson. Started in patrol, like everybody. Worked a lot of several years on nights in patrol, and took my time actually doing a lot of the different lateral positions. I think there's a lot of value in those before promoting. So I was able to do things like our community policing teams, an undercover officer for a while, kind of just running the gamut of things, just to get all of those experiences that I could. I then went the investigations route for promotion. I was promoted to detective, where I worked largely in sensitive crimes and helping to develop our special victims unit. And then from there, promoted to lieutenant, where again, I did quite a bit in the investigations realm, as far as being the lieutenant, detective lieutenant in a couple different districts, and then the detective lieutenant of the special victims unit. One of my last assignments as a lieutenant was I was the lieutenant of professional standards and internal affairs for 2.5 years. So I have a lot of experience in that category, and then became the captain of the Central District, which was very interesting, very, very rewarding, and very busy experience, and one that was able to give me a lot of different connections within that Central District community and all of its diverse needs. And then was promoted to the interim assistant chief position when Chief Barnes left. So maybe a little bit of, I think, beginning of March, which is where I've been since. I have been a lifelong Madisonian. I grew up in DeForest, so just outside of Madison. Then went to UW-Madison, interned at the police department in our Crime Stoppers program, and then actually was hired right out of college. So I've been with Madison since I left college, and honestly couldn't imagine doing this career anywhere else. So just recently, about a year ago though, we moved out of Madison because we wanted to be able to build and have on some land. So I'm just still nearby in the town of Verona. My husband's retired from the police department. He retired back in 2021 as a detective, and we have a college freshman at UW-Madison. So that is a little bit about me.
Could you just talk just a little bit about your current assignment then? I know that, and that there are three assistant chiefs, and they each kind of cover different areas. So if you'd kind of hit that a little bit, I think that would be helpful for commissioners.
Sure. So I am the Assistant Chief of Investigative and Specialized Services. So that covers the investigations unit that's housed primarily in the central city county building. So our violent crime unit and all of the subsets of that, including CIS, which is our criminal intelligence unit, and those things. I also then have in my specialized services area, traffic, control, event planning, the property room, emergency management, and I know I'm going to end up forgetting one, and the forensic services unit, so our lab individuals. So that's kind of all of my umbrella. And then temporarily right now, as we as Lee Hunt was that fourth position, that was a director position. When he departed for Seattle, we kind of split those duties up. And so, as of right now, I'm also overseeing the analyst positions. And so, for the crime analysis, the data analysis, and those eventually will go back to the position that we have in the process right now, which will be a manager position that will then kind of acquire those back. But right now, that's also my area of supervision.
Thank you. Commissioners, I'll open it for questions from commissioners. I'll go ahead and launch with one. With this recent chief process, one of the things that that we heard from our community is they do expect and want the engagement from the police department. They want to feel like they're connected to their police department. And I know sometimes with the investigative side of the house, that can be more challenging than with operations or things like that. But if you would talk a little bit about how you see your role facilitating that community engagement and kind of furthering those values down through those that you supervise.
Sure. I think that's something that has always been a part of my philosophy in being with the Madison Police Department, from the point of being an officer and to the point that I am now. And so I think one of our thing the things that we should value the most is our community partnerships, and making sure that, yes, the community is involved and feels like they are part of what is going on and decisions that are being made. And so I think, my role, even though, yes, it is largely over investigations and specialized services and some more of those internal, I think, ever since I became more in a supervisory role as a lieutenant, you develop those community connections in different places, and you keep those as you go forward. And so I still have all of those connections, and then look to further them now in the role that I'm in now, and how I can, what more I can do in this current role, and then also making sure that the people that I supervise and work with are also participating in those types of roles and listening. I think one of the things throughout policing that, as I've grown in this role, is really the importance of procedural justice and really listening to people. And even though we may not end up agreeing At the end, I think giving people that voice to be able to express themselves and just have you hear their point of view and look at something from their perspective and know that we all look through different lenses, and that while we may not come to an agreement or something that that satisfies everybody, it's just one of kind of my core values here is just to make sure that I'm listening and considering that and know that one of the things that people want to do is be heard. And so I think you obviously as a larger community aspect too, knowing that the community wants to be heard and wants perspectives taken into consideration. And if something is different or something maybe can't be go in the way that one would hope, being able to explain that and give that information as to why maybe a decision was made the way it was, and those kind of things. So I think just it's really nothing new, just more of a continuation of what I have been doing. And then in this role, being able to hopefully also meet new people and different connections and things that I haven't had.
Other commissioners with questions?
I had a question, Captain. Are there any specific relationships that you have that you'd like to share?
So sure, one of the things that I think has been something that in the most recent times, actually, and more so in this role is, and I forgot to mention in what I do actually is I'm the main contact with our department for meeting with the Office of the Independent Monitor and the Police Civilian Oversight Board. That is definitely a relationship that I value, and I think knowing that we can both benefit, I think, from having an open and honest communication and another place of thinking about perspective and taking in people's lived perspectives. And then also working with the independent monitor, who right now obviously there's a search for a new individual for that role. But I think that that is a relationship, I would say, especially just in this new role, that I do value in making those connections and hearing the community and hearing places where the community thinks that that the times that the police need improvement or need things to be looked at, maybe like different policy recommendations and things like that. So I would say that role most recently.
Other commissioners? I know that I'm going to jump. I got one more question. With the whole procedural justice piece, I know that we heard some things from some of the feedback from community about places where they saw weaknesses with the procedural justice thing. I'm not talking just with police, I'm talking more with the broader system, and that they feel that there's more that the system that Dane County, that the police could do with that area. What do you see as potential opportunities or challenges in that area?
Yeah, I think definitely the opportunity is just to try to build on those relationships and realize that I think showing up and also making sure that if there's something that we commit to doing or that we say we're going to look at or we say we're going to review that we're doing it. And so I think sometimes it definitely probably feels like it's a lot of talking and listening, and okay, now is there going to be next steps and where we're going to advance and we're going to move forward in those areas of improvement and take on the hard work. And so I think that's where sometimes the challenge is, but also where then the opportunity is to be able to grow as a department, be able to better serve the community, and hopefully bridge some of those relationships.
Is it your, would it be your office or would it be the operations people that would it like look at like diversion programs? I'm not sure that it falls under your umbrella. That's why I'm asking.
No, that falls under probably under operations, so under Assistant Chief Ty.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Commissioners, other questions? Okay. Well, I won't force the issue. I guess they are satisfied with what they've heard. That we are, and so we do appreciate your time. And if there's any other last words you have for us, I would just give you a minute to say those, and then we'll turn it over to Captain Nautigal in a minute here.
No, I think thank you for allowing me the opportunity to come and just have a very brief chat tonight. And certainly, I am looking forward to continuing in this role and providing an excellent service and furthering community ties and working for our people and our culture and everything that I can. And certainly, if you have any questions or anything that you want to touch base with me. In the future, please just give a shout out. I'm always available.
I do have one last thing. What is the single biggest challenge right now for the police department?
The single biggest challenge.
You're going to get the same question, Captain, so.
I think that our community relations, when you look back, and I always hesitate to bring up like 2020 because it's kind of that pivotal point, but it really is. I feel like we've come far since 2020, but I still think the challenge is that there's always going to be some of that relationship that is strained because of what happened and because of sometimes what does continue to happen that you see in the news. In other places, and things like that. And so I think it's always going to be the challenge of getting that trust and having that transparency, I think is always one of those things that will continue to be a challenge and really should be. I think like the people really the community really expects a lot from its police department, expects a lot from us. And expects that that we are always up to that challenge, that we are always trying to be better, we're always trying to improve, and we're always trying to do the best we can with open lines of communication and transparency. But I still think in this profession that that's one of the biggest challenges.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time tonight. We do appreciate
Thank
you joining us.
you very much.
Thank you.
Captain Nautigal, welcome, welcome.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Great. Thank
We'll
you.
go ahead and start with the initial question, the same one that we started with the assistant chief, is just kind of if you give us an overview of your career and tell us a little more about you.
Sure. So I have also been with the department 28 years, although I have a little bit of a different career path than Assistant Chief Kamoski. I actually started in the budget office for the department as a civilian in 1998. I worked in that regard, helping prepare budget and monitoring expenses and learning about payroll for about 5.5 years before I was sworn in as a law enforcement officer in 2004. So I worked in patrol for about 4 years. I then In my time in patrol, I worked primarily what is now third shift, so 3 to 11, 2 to 10 p.m. I worked in various districts. I was a mental health liaison officer for years. And then I worked as a criminal intelligence officer for about a year and a half before I was promoted to detective in 2010, I believe. I primarily worked in persons crimes for several years, and I was one of the first detectives that was assigned to be in the violent crimes unit when it began in 2015. So that's where a lot of my expertise it lies, is within the investigative side of the department. I worked in the violent crimes unit as a detective and promoted to detective sergeant in 2018, I believe, and then continued in that regard for about a year until I was promoted to lieutenant in 2019. I did a brief stint as the fifth detail officer in charge for about 6 weeks, and then I rejoined investigative services as a lieutenant. I spent, well, about 2 to 3 years in that realm. And then in 2023, I moved to become a detective lieutenant of the West District until I was promoted last year to be the captain of community outreach, where I have been since December of 2024. And in a few weeks, I will be transitioning out of that role to become the captain of investigative services. I am married. My husband is retired. I have two adult children and six beautiful grandchildren that I love spending time with.
Questions for the captain? I think it might be helpful, Captain, if you talk a little bit about the duties and responsibilities that the Captain of Investigative Services covers.
Sure. I will, when I take over that role, the Captain of Investigative Services oversees the entire Detective Bureau. So, all of the detectives, even though, so we are currently, our bureau is broken down into specialty units. So, I will supervise the detective lieutenants and case assignments and all of the investigative needs for the department. I will also supervise the lieutenant that's currently assigned to the Dane County Narcotics Task Force. I will also directly supervise the Violent Crime Unit and the Gang and Neighborhood Crime Abatement Team. Also supervising the Court Intake Unit and the Criminal Intelligence Section. Part of my job will also be working to ensure that the district attorney's office is seeing good work product from our detectives, being a liaison with the Dane County District Attorney's Office, as well as the U.S. Attorney's Office, to ensure that our cases are being prosecuted to the fullest extent. And also looking to build some more community partnerships with service providers as we look to support our new investigative units that were created at the beginning of this year.
Could you talk a little bit about those new investigative units, please?
Sure. So we have two sensitive crimes units. So those are kind of another term for our domestic units. So they investigate domestic abuse cases, sexual assault of adult cases, strangulation, stalking, any intimate partner violence cases. So we have one unit that's housed out of the West District, and then we have one unit that's housed out of the East District. We also have a financial crimes unit that's housed out of the Central District. We have our special victims unit, which is housed out of the South District, which investigates child abuse, neglect. They handle the ICAC investigations. We have our violent crime unit that is out of the Central District. We all have a property crimes unit, which was our old burglary unit, but we expanded that with additional detectives. So they investigate stolen autos, property crime related, arson, those type of property crimes. And then we have a persons crime unit housed out of our North District that handles substantial batteries, batteries, strong arm robberies, and or persons offenses that don't quite rise to the level of the violent crimes unit. So non-fatal shootings, missing persons, kidnappings, those types of things.
It sounds like with the expansion of that model, then that is working well for the department.
It is, but we can always do better. So, what I'd like to do is work, especially with our special victims unit, to work more closely with the district attorney's office, the victim witness unit, with DAYS, with UNIDOS, with some of the other service partners to have stronger relationships so that we can work all work together to support victims.
Questions from commissioners?
I have a question. Captain, it sounds like your new role, you will be throughout the city. And you had mentioned that you had worked in the West District. Do you have experience, or would you share your experience with the other neighborhood associations?
Sure. So, well, right now I'm currently the captain of community outreach. So I oversee our community outreach and education officers, and they go out into the community and do youth, provide youth programming. Part of that, we also work, there are community police advisory boards in each district. So we work with those. When I was in the West District, I did work with our neighborhood officers that work specifically with some of the neighborhood groups. Worked a lot with Sheree Wallace in the Meadowwood neighborhood. I know she was also part of our community safety worker pilot program initially. So we would work in partnership with them when doing community engagement, doing listening sessions, supporting their events that they were holding, and trying to also work together to share information regarding crimes or crime patterns that we were seeing in specific neighborhoods to address residents' questions and concerns.
Thank you.
Questions from other commissioners? I'll go ahead with the, while they're thinking, I'll go ahead with the, what do you see as the biggest challenge, or any other, if there are like a grouping of little challenges, what are the challenges for, well, for your unit and for the department as a whole?
Well, I'll speak specifically for the community outreach unit. As part of my unit, I also, in that realm, I supervise the mental health unit. And so we work with, we have three licensed embedded crisis workers from Journey. We also work with the CARES team. So one of the Journey embedded crisis workers, she oversees the CARES team. But what we're seeing obviously is that there is a gap between what law enforcement can do and what community service organizations or even hospitals. There are always this group of people that it seems that they're kind of left out. And so we're trying to figure out how to best support those individuals that are probably at the greatest need. They're driving a lot of calls for service, but they don't qualify for certain programs, or they, you know. So we're just trying to figure out how to fill the gaps in those individuals' needs.
Is that a, do you believe it's a choice? Like, is there an element of choice for the individual where they want to participate or are refusing to participate? Or is it a, like a, just a total service gap?
It's a little bit of both, honestly. I mean, yes, there are a few of those individuals that don't want to participate, but a lot of the people that we're seeing, they've kind of run out of options. They've kind of burned bridges at different service providers for a variety of reasons. They could have, you know, really severe mental health challenges, but there could be, you know, other codependency, substance use issues that are in play. That, so when you have that, it's, those are the people that I think we really aren't doing a great service to. And I think that's kind of a way, and, you know, and is it a law enforcement issue? But how can we work with other organizations and service providers to make sure that those people are being taken care of or their needs are being met?
And what do you think is the biggest barrier in doing that?
I wish I had the answer for that. Just in a lot, we meet on a biweekly basis for the mental health unit, and we meet with a journey, we meet with school districts, we meet with the VA, we meet with other law enforcement agencies that are also dealing with similar things. And it's hard to say. Sometimes it is just a lack of available resources. We have, for those individuals that are unhoused, probably at the greatest risk of being involved, either victimized, those are the people that are kind of falling through the cracks. And some, they might be involved in criminal activity, but it's really being driven by their mental health. So jail is not the appropriate place for them. There's only so much that certain hospitals can do to treat underlying conditions. And when the person is out of treatment, it's kind of that ongoing long-term care that I think is really needed. So probably that's an area that is the biggest need right now.
Captain, how many people fall through the gaps? And is it across the ages or?
Yeah, it is. From the mental health unit, we are seeing more and more younger people, but it's really all across the board.
And do you have any like approximations of numbers, I mean, that you know of, or you just,
No,
yeah, you come
I
by them
don't.
and yeah. Okay.
Correct.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Other questions, either for Captain Nagel, either related to the community outreach. Actually, it's nice that you're coming from community outreach and going over to the other area because it gives us an opportunity to explore the department in a little and actually two really kind of distinctly different areas.
Yeah, I actually am excited about that. When I was in the violent crime or in the violent crime unit, we were working with the community safety intervention team quite closely, especially when, in 2021, 2022, when we were having that large rash of auto thefts involving juveniles. And so working with juvenile justice workers, corrections, building those relationships. That actually carried over into community outreach because we're trying to reach that segment of population to try and build trust and legitimacy, to try and, those are the ones that we would like to do outreach with. I forgot to mention, well, as part of community outreach, I also supervise the two diversion deflection officers that we have in the department currently. So we're always looking to expand our efforts with the restorative justice program and the community restorative court.
Where do you see the biggest need is in that area?
I haven't dealt a lot with that. I know I've been trying to have conversations with Steph Marino for community restorative court. We have some ideas in the department about expanding applicable offenses that can be referred, that would allow people to be referred to the community restorative court. And I talked with Steph Marino, and she says that they have the capacity to expand. So I'm really hopeful in that regard that we can look at the calls for service that we have and potential offenses that would be applicable. Obviously, we would have to have conversations with the district attorney's office and with the city attorney's office, but I'm hopeful that we can do that.
Commissioners, other questions or other areas that you want to explore? There's lots of opportunities there. And I don't know if I did. I don't know that I asked you the biggest challenge for the police department as a whole. What do you see that as? It doesn't have to be in the areas that you're overseeing. It could be anything.
Well, I don't want to copy what Assistant Chief Komoski said, but I do believe building trust with the community, it's and always going to be an ongoing project that we should be working on. Every officer, every day, and every contact should be working to grow trust, to increase transparency, to treat individuals with respect and dignity, to give them a voice, to just really listen to what it is that that individual at that moment in time needs. And explain why we do what we do. Just take the time and be respectful. And I think that is something that, again, like I said, every officer during every contact needs to know and needs to follow. Because when we increase transparency, when we give people a voice, they feel valued, they feel respected, and they will hopefully be much more willing to work with us to help address community safety and the needs of the community.
Thank you for that. Others, question, final call for questions. All right. I really appreciate your time tonight, Captain Nautigal. Thank you for joining us, and wish you good luck with your career advancement. I'm really glad to see it.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank
I'm
you
glad
very
I got a
much.
chance to meet you all.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay. With that agenda item, that takes us to agenda item 17, which is contemplated closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 19.85, sub 1, sub C, to discuss and take action, if appropriate, regarding employment, promotion, compensation, or performance evaluation data of any public employee over which the governmental body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility. Specifically, consider the preliminary recommendation of the police chief for the promotion of the following candidates and report on personnel file reviews. Angela Komoski, captain to assistant chief, effective 9/28 of 25. Diane Noctigal, lieutenant to captain, effective 9/28 of 25. Sam Breyer, officer to sergeant, effective 12/21 of 25. And Kyle Hopman, officer to detective, effective 9/28 of 25. I'll take a motion.
I make a motion to move into closed session.
I have a motion. I need a second.
Second.
A motion. I have a second. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we'll go to closed session. Mike, we'll see it. Are you gonna? Jenna's not here. Do you want to turn it over to me? Well, she's here. She's there.
We're on the
But
phone, so yeah,
it's hard on the phone.
I'll turn it over to you and just kick me out, not her.
Okay. I will see about kicking you out.
All right, I'll pause the recording too. All right.